Chapter 2 this morning, and I'm going to read again out of the message just because I really like the way Peterson has translated this and it makes it seem fresh again. And so we've been talking about this all-in message all week, and we've been gripped by it. And so here's just some of the takeaway, I guess, from this situation that we've found ourselves in. So just from the notes, as Jesus followers, we've been signed on as lifelong learners to be ever loving, ever growing in discipleship, ever pushing through hurts, disappointments, betrayals, and discouragements, ever being transformed. Jesus calls us to be all in people, all in like the paratrooper who, the second after the jump, is all in. And we were going to try to get a picture up. I don't know if it's working or not, but just that sense of the minute the paratrooper heads off the last step, he's committed to what comes next. And what I sensed this week, the aspects of walking the Christian life that is the most surprising is we get this impression, this feeling that it should be easy and the things should go our way. And even though Scripture doesn't really point to that, but it's just like, well, something should align somewhere. Now that we're believers and we're following Jesus, it should just get easier. And it was never intended to be that way. Jesus was pretty clear that it was not going to be that way to his disciples, nor to us. But as we if we understand that just like the paratrooper who takes that last step off the edge of that open door, we are fully committed at that point to following, for trusting, and for believing that this mission that's been given to us is one that is going to take the rest of our lives. And so, not like skydivers who do it just for fun, we are jumping out of this plane, we are descending down into enemy territory with a mission, with a specific goal in mind, and that is to bring glory to this one who has saved us and given us eternal life. And so as we consider that and we consider ourselves Holy Spirit-inspired paratroopers, I don't know if anyone's really aspired to being a paratrooper. Has anyone ever jumped out of a plane? Of course. And you loved it, didn't you? Ah. If I had jumped, my eyes would have been closed too, that's for sure. But
I have something similar though. There's a place in Stewart, Oklahoma called 16 where I was a little kid. We would swing out on this rope and let go of the rope and hit some big tree and fall into it. Well, after you let go of the rope, you were committed to it.
You were.
And the first time I did it, swung out, let go of the rope, and the second time I looked down and noticed that there were several water boxes in the water.
You are. And so were they. I bet you were. Necessity is the mother of invention. Well, you know, and I think actually those are the same type of stories that Paul tells us in the New Testament as well. You know, you're all in, and this is what's happening here, and it's probably not going to get a whole lot easier. So let's just look through these few verses here for the first 16 verses of Philippians chapter 2 from the message. So in the first four verses, it's the attitude of all-in missional people. What should our attitude be? And Paul makes it clear here when he writes to the church at Philippi, and Peterson makes it even clearer in today's language. He says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. And so all of this all in thing is just saying, you know, when we talk about this, you know, it's all about Jesus, it's all about you, and so, you know, it isn't about me. And yet on every other front, everywhere else we look, every other voice we listen to, especially television and ads and media, it is all about you. You can have it all, one commercial says, and you deserve it, you deserve a break, you know, and all of this. And so everywhere, plus our own old nature, kind of pushes us to have an attitude of, well, I'm willing to give a little bit, but, you know, as long as there's more in return than I have to give. And Paul's introduction here in chapter 2 just says, no, it's always, always about giving, serving, putting others first, esteeming others, being agreeable, loving each other, etc. And so this is not just the introduction to this Christian life. This is the attitude that we have throughout our lives. This is what Paul is saying, and this is exactly what we see Jesus doing, especially as we look in verses 5 through 11. So the second one is example. The example for all in missional people. Jesus, of course, is our example. So let's look at verses 5 through 11. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. So this is this familiar passage we have reading from either King James or our NIV, and then just updated somewhat in Peterson's. But the example for us, here is Jesus, and as we stop and think about it, Jesus, of course, fully completed the mission that the Father had given him. All of his message, everything he spoke, was all about being all in. It was never like, oh, just make a decision for this and then you're good to go. You've completed your assignment. No, it was always all in. You know, when he gave the, you know, I was thinking of the Great Commission when in the end of Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says at the very end, after he gives them their commission of what they're to do, then he says, and I will be with you right till the very end of the age. I will never leave you. In other words, this mission that I'm accomplishing here, wrapping up on earth, continues in my being with you as you run the race, as you complete your course, and I will accompany you all the way through to the very end. And so even when Jesus wraps up his time on earth, his attitude and his example is, I'm still all in. I'm leaving, but as he promises Holy Spirit, and then he says, I will be with you right to the very end. I'm still all in. There's no question of giving up. There's no question of not making it through to the end. And in Hebrews chapter 12, this just as we begin this passage, when he says, the writer to the Hebrews here, just beginning this chapter, he says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And so, as we ponder those things that Jesus faced, given this mission of the Father, he came, he became human, and I like this when Peter says, once he became human, he stayed human. He didn't find the easy way out, even though he prayed to the Father if there was any other way that this could be accomplished. He was more than willing to consider the options, but the Father didn't have any, and so Jesus completed the mission that had been given to him. But all through, all the opposition, I mean, it would have been so easy for Jesus to just, as the, especially the religious rulers, I think that had to be one of the most disheartening aspects of all. These people who should have known, should have been ready to receive him, knew the scriptures, walked their lives as if they were following what God was asking, and they were the very ones who rejected him the most, with the most hostility, with the most hatred, and they were there to trip him up at every step. I mean, it would have been so easy for Jesus to just go to the Father one night in prayer and say, this is flat out not working. These people aren't listening, and the very people I need to be on my side are obviously not on my side, and they're trying to get rid of me. So, you know, I don't really want to do this anymore because this is getting really ugly. And so, but rather than doing that, Jesus continued to be all in. I am still going to be there. I'm still going to accomplish this mission that the Father has given me. And so in Philippians chapter 2, as we come back there, all of the obstacles that he faced, he pushed through them. He said, this is not the only one. And you know, in Hebrews, when it talks about facing the cross and despising the shame, but for the joy set before him, so he kept the goal, the end goal. He was all in because he knew where he was going. He knew what he was called to accomplish. And so all the stuff that he dealt with, as far as he was concerned, couldn't deter him from the goal that was in front of him. He was all in, even if the religious rulers rejected him, if the Jews in general rejected him, if people had problems with him and his hometown people rejected him and found fault with him. In all of those things, he kept his eye on the goal. He continued to be all in. And when Peterson talks about Jesus living a selfless, obedient life, then he says, and then he died an obedient and selfless death. And so when we talk about Jesus being our example, we might go, well, wait a minute. Jesus died selfless, obedient life, and then he died a selfless, obedient death, and this is our example? We have a problem with it as long as we don't understand that we are called to be all in. And so when Paul talks about these light and momentary troubles, I always smirk a little bit when I read that. It's like, how could Paul call what he'd been through light and momentary troubles? But I think Paul caught it. I think Paul had the all in. When his vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus, that work that was done in his heart to show him how wrong his trajectory was and how much he was fighting against the very thing he wanted to be promoting, once he understood that, then he was all in, regardless of what happened. And so he goes through the shipwrecks and the stonings and, you know, being hunted by people and imprisonments and finally even being martyred. But he considered it everything he had before. He said, I still consider it all, everything else from before, that was just a loss to me. That's a waste of time. I was never going to get where I thought I wanted to be. And what I've got now, I wouldn't trade for anything. So I'm still pressing forward. Not that I've attained it yet, but I'm still going. I still know what the goal is. I'm still all in, even at the end. And in one of his letters, I think it's in Ephesians, he talks about, you know, even now I'm being poured out like a drink offering. He realizes his life is about to end. He's going to be killed. And there's no regret in there. It's almost like I do it all over again because this thing was worth it. To be found faithful, to be found in Christ, Paul understood that and his language of being all in. And so this recognizing our attitude, but then seeing Jesus, how Jesus walked this out, walked the reality of having an all-in mentality that we also have been called to. So sometimes I think as believers, it's just so easy to want to find some easier way, somebody that would kind of soft pedal that idea. And so we have a lot of branches of the church today that are talking in terms of, you know, follow Jesus and life will be great and you'll be rich and famous and you'll be wonderful and nothing will ever go wrong and on and on. And that's tempting, because who doesn't want that? I mean, who wouldn't love for life to just go our way and everything works and everything is wonderful, everything is peachy. And even though everything we see in Scripture is to the contrary. And so I think we can adopt that attitude that Jesus had, that for the joy set before us, for knowing that we've been faithful to this call, is worth everything. And so number three is a lifestyle. So it's not just an attitude. We follow Jesus' example as a lifestyle of all-in missional people. So reading verses 12 through 16. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life and salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself, willing and working, at will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go into all this work for nothing. So Paul is separated now. He's in prison, and he is recommending that his believers, the church there at Philippi and others as well, would live a lifestyle of all-in missional people, recognizing that what we've been called to is advancing in the kingdom. When Paul talks about in Ephesians, it's no longer I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. No, he considers himself dead to all those things, and Phil Strout mentioned that verse this week, and he's, you know, kind of used the term, so he says, I'm a dead man walking. And that's kind of how we all are. What we lived for, the goals, the things that we thought were being the most important, have now moved aside. And the newest thing for us, the latest thing, what is for us as Christians, the rest of our lives, is to be to the glory of God. And to the, as our new motto for the Vineyard, and to the greater well-being of people. So it's a lifestyle to be all in. Keep on doing what you've been doing from the beginning and keep it up. But this be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy. So here's where the Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps us. When we get weary, when we get tired of doing the good stuff, or, you know, when you've done the right thing and you've been obedient, you've been faithful, you've been filled with integrity, you've been honest, and then you get slapped in the face and somebody else gets it, it gets really discouraging. It makes you just want to sometimes say, why am I doing this? Because it doesn't seem to work. You know, you try to do the right thing and it really gets messed up. And so what Paul recommends for them in Ephesians 6:9 is, don't get weary in doing good. Don't allow yourselves to get deflated, because the bad guys always seem to win and the good guys always seem to get the short end of the stick. He says, don't allow that to separate you from the goal that you've set before you, because God's energy is at work deep within you, willing and working, at will give him the most pleasure. See, it's not I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. And so I'm not doing what I want to do for me, God is working in me to do what will bring him pleasure. And that's our goal. That's our stance, I think, as all-in missional people. And especially when he says, go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. It's amazing that that was written 2,100 years ago. Paul could easily say that today, you know. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Our stance needs to be firmly rooted in what God has called us to do, rooted in Scripture. We are never in a position to have to compromise what Scripture says. And so our society is removing itself more and more and more from scriptural standards. Our position doesn't change. Our position is what Scripture teaches. And so even though there's a major shift, I think what Paul is saying here, being examples of good living and of the living God, we carry the light-giving message into the darkness, into the night. And so as Bible believers, as Jesus followers, as those who've received this wonderful gift of salvation, we can be in our society as lights, as examples, living a lifestyle of all-in missional people. And my guess is, the more we decide to do that, the more we stay committed to staying on track, staying on this target, the more weird we're going to look to the world. The more attention we're going to draw to ourselves, because we're not doing what everybody else is doing. We're not going along with the thinking of the day. We're not shifting our thinking every time a ruling comes down from one court or another. We're staying on track. We're not changing. When other people change around us, that's when we're going to be the more visible, the more noticeable, the more strange. And so what Jesus did in coming with a mission and saying, I'm going to accomplish this mission. There was plenty for Jesus that he encountered that could have stopped him, that could have waylaid him, made him take a detour, etc., or just flat out just say, I'm not doing this. These people don't deserve it. I just think they should be incinerated and be done with it. But he didn't. He stayed on the Father's track, and he managed to finish the work that he'd been called to do, as we are. So what are we called to do? Bring glory to God. We're to bring glory to his name in the way we live, in our relationships, in the way we treat other people, the way we don't push our way to the front, the way we don't try to sweet talk our way to the top, the way we put ourselves aside, the way we help others get ahead, not being obsessed with getting our own advantage, forgetting ourselves long enough to lend a helping hand, as Paul says in the first four verses. And so this lifestyle that we've been called to is, I think, more strange, more extraneous, more bizarre looking to the world, because the world is following the thinking of the day. The world just, there's nothing to hold them back, so they just keep following whatever thinking comes up, whatever media sources or whatever speak to them. And so our job is to not waver to the right or to the left, but to have our goal fixed firmly in front of us, providing people with an example of good living and of the living God. And then Paul, because he's in prison here at this point, he's near the end of his life, he is saying a little bit like John the Baptist. Remember when John the Baptist was in prison and knew he was in serious trouble and he probably wasn't going to get out of there? He was worried for a while that maybe Jesus wasn't really who he said he was. And, you know, he's just getting fearful and all kinds of voices come in, and kind of that word that was given to us this morning. Just, okay, when those words, when those thoughts, when those things come in to attack us, we need to recognize, wait a minute, is this from God? And to stop them in their tracks and not allow ourselves to be distracted. And so I think John the Baptist needed proof. That's why he sent people to ask Jesus, are you the one? And Jesus gave him the answer that he needed. And when Paul is saying here at the end in verse 16, do this so that you'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. So he's in prison and he's just thinking, boy, this would really be terrible if I die and there is no fruit left and nobody is really believing what we've been teaching them, what we trained, what we gave our lives to for all these years. And if it just came to nothing. And so he's just kind of putting the word out there again. It's like, please follow this. Please adopt this lifestyle of being all-in missional people so that there really will be something written down to prove that what I gave my life to is not in vain. And of course, here we are 21 centuries later, and as Paul has an opportunity to look over the parapet from heaven and to look down and see the church across the world, I think he must feel like something worked, and we are still reading his words and we're still being inspired by his words, and he's still calling us by his obedience to do the same thing. So all in missional people, we're kind of like the paratrooper. We've jumped out of the plane, and now we've begun our mission. We know what our mission is. So there's an attitude that separates us. We have an example to follow. And we have this lifestyle that is ever rich, ever moving, ever growing, growing in discipleship, pushing through hurts, disappointments, betrayals, and discouragements. And that's tough to do, isn't it? If you're not all in, and when some of those things start stacking up, that just makes you really want to give up. And so in order to push through hurts, disappointments, betrayals, and discouragements, we really need to know what our goal is and say, this is it, once and for all. It's already been decided. One person pointed out this week at our conference that the theme was all in, period. And he says, I really like that period there because it isn't all in and, it is all in, period. And then this lifestyle that we live, so as we carry out our lives the next 30, 40, 50 years, whatever God gives us, is to keep going on the same goal, to say, this is what I'm in for, this is what I want to do, this is what the world needs, and it isn't about me getting what I want, it's about the word getting out so that people around us, the people who drive by here every Sunday as we're gathered, the people in our communities, can know there is something worth living for. People want something to live for, something worth dying for. And so here we have a mission that's been given to us, and Jesus is faithful as he calls us to equip us and to never leave us as orphans or to forsake us. And so we've been given this, and these words here of Paul in Philippians chapter 2 to me are just such a great invitation, and so clear in the message of what he's called us to do and what his desire is for us to live this life. So putting aside our own wants and wishes and being able to see that what God calls us to is more worthwhile than anything we would have aimed for on our own is a challenge for us. It calls for discipleship. Discipleship requires us to learn and to be open and to follow into new thinking. And so Paul specifically talks about his own example of what he's done, and he continually encourages his followers, his churches that he's planted, those who depend on him for teaching. He is not even afraid to say, follow my example. Do what I've done. You know, I'm not afraid to say, do what I've done, you know, and follow in this and be faithful. And so that's kind of the goal that we want to have as well, that we could look to others who come behind us and say, just follow my example. Instead of being ashamed of ourselves and ashamed of what we've not done, is to be all in and say, I am trying to live an example the best I can, probably not perfectly for sure, but really wanting people to be able to follow our example and say, do what I've done. And that's the challenge before us as all-in missional people. We've already jumped, so our decision is, what are we going to do with that jump, and what's the mission going to be once we land? All right, let's pray together as we close up here this morning. Father, we are grateful that you love us, that you have more work for us to do, that you've placed us here in this society at such a time as this. You've given us a message. You've given us life. You've given us your spirit. you've given us your word that speaks to us. You've given us your word that gives us light and clarity and wisdom. So, Father, could we be those who would take the challenge to recognize that this life is all about the mission you've given us? That even as we finish out this year, 2013, you've given us a task to do that isn't about just getting what we want, but their hearts and lives hanging in the balance of our own faithfulness to this task. So could we see you? Could we see the goal in front of us? This goal to bring glory to you through everything that we do, everything we say, every relationship, the quality of every relationship, whether it's family or work or community. Father, could we give ourselves to bringing glory to you in all that we do, in every attitude, every aspect of our attitudes, as all in missional people? And could we not be ashamed to ask people to follow the example that we are setting? And for that, Father, we give you praise. Thank you for being our helper, coming alongside us, never leaving us orphans, equipping us, challenging us, continually bringing us back to your word, back to the truth, back to our roots, so that we might accomplish this mission, bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.